Welcome to Let's Talk About It, co-hosted by Maria Wyatt and Scott Dudley. Presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXORadio.com.
Good morning, Imperial Valley. You are listening to your weekly wellness radio, Let's Talk About It, with your hosts, Scott and Maria. We are brought to you by Imperial County Behavioral Health and KUBO 88.7 Radio Bilingue. Our phone number here at the station is 337-8874. And also, you can access this show at our podcast at kxoradio.com.
That's our pause now. Do you like that pause in the beginning? We worked that out in our new sound.
You know, well, I wasn't sure if we were live or not.
Yeah. Of course we're. But it was.
But I couldn't hear myself. So.
Good morning. Welcome. Thank you for listening. This is your voice for wellness. 337-8874. Sponsored by Imperial County.
Yes.
And never, ever miss the podcasts because they're always good. Because Mario actually takes out all the trite, inconsequential things.
Like that pasta.
Pretty much my whole intro as far as that goes. And he actually adds like smarter things. So, yeah, totally. He's like photoshopping the words, and he's good at that.
I have an archive of words.
Yeah. He just pulls out
Engineer
words
Mario.
From previous shows. Yes, welcome. We do have a guest today. His name is Frank Espinosa. He's the regional manager for the San Diego El Central chapter of the Alzheimer's Association. Good morning, Frank.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Thank you for inviting me. It's great to be here, and I'm the regional manager for the Alzheimer's Association here in Imperial Valley, and we do service every area in the Imperial County. So it goes for Calexico, El Centro, Brawley, all these areas, and I'm here to talk about the services and the programs and services that we provide, and also give a little information on some warning signs of Alzheimer's disease. So I'm really excited to be here.
Thank you for coming aboard.
Thank you.
Okay, baby boomers.
Let's start it.
Take out your pencils, sharpen them up, write this stuff down so you don't forget, because I know you guys are all worried about this because it's getting to be that age. Is this an age-related infirmary?
Unfortunately, yes. Alzheimer's disease is increasing in the Imperial Valley. It's expected right now that there are more than 2,500 cases of Alzheimer's disease. And one of the primary factors is age. And so it's very important to educate the community and kind of provide that information for people, the baby boomers, mm-hmm. and anyone in general, to take care of themselves, to have a better brain healthy lifestyle.
So it's just age related. It's not really a gender or ethnic or racial.
The primary factor is age. Obviously, you know, there are other factors. Genetic history only accounts for 2%. So the most obvious factor is age.
So the good news is you lived well enough to live to be an age that you could be considered as having a risk factor for Alzheimer's. The bad news is it's a risk factor. How old are we talking here?
Well,
Maria and I are aging, so.
Well, unfortunately, it's 1 in 8 baby boomers will develop Alzheimer's disease in their lifetime.
What kind of age? So when do we have to keep? When do we have to like look in the mirror and go, is that me?
Well, right now, you know, research has indicated that you know there are many special cases where Alzheimer's is, you know, popping up at a young age, you know, 35, 40, even 50, but it's becoming more evident with seniors that are 65 and above, and it increases to 1 in every 2 people, so 50% after age 85.
That's virtually normal. I just want to point that out.
Yeah.
So at some point, your reduced cognitive function may just be part of the game.
I agree.
You know, if you make it to 85 and you're still sharp, you count the blessing, right?
There you go.
You know, and if not, you know, just hope nobody tells you.
It's alarming, and it's actually very difficult for a lot of the people that are here in the community that don't have access to some information, and they are already at a certain age, and for them it's considered taboo, and so they kind of...
Oh, yeah, you don't even want to ask if you're, am I slipping? Because that's like, Ooh.
No.
Yeah, you have to pretend you're not slipping. That's the rule.
And our job here at the association is to kind of let them know that there is a difference. There is a difference between normal forgetfulness and severe forgetfulness caused by Alzheimer's disease. And there are some warning signs that we could, you know, look into and kind of give them that sigh of relief, I guess you could say, and just for them to pay attention to these warning signs and hope that if they do see some changes with their loved one, they can definitely reach out to us and get the information that they need.
Now, it's one of the things that we want to get out into the public consciousness. Early intervention, muy bueno, much more preferred than not.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think part of our job also is to be active in the community by participating at health fairs and senior events, you know, where we can definitely provide that information to all these seniors that are living here in the community and also reach out to the younger generations. So we're trying to pay it forward by just, you know, being out there in all types of events. So it's a good thing that we are active in the community and that we try to reach out to adolescents. You know, as a matter of fact, right now we're trying to work with Southwest High School for to observe World Alzheimer's Day, which is next month on September 21st. And I think that's a great opportunity to kind of raise awareness with the kids. And hopefully they, you know, can go home and, you know, provide that information to their parents. And then their parents can probably, you know, investigate and do some research in hopes that they can find some, you know, changes in behavior with their loved ones as well.
Yeah, I think where that's kind of headed towards is that this doesn't just affect the person with the condition.
Absolutely not.
It really, really flows downhill because now you've got caregiving issues, you've got time and space issues. It affects whole families.
Oh, I agree. I agree. And we get a lot of those calls and visits at our office where it's the caregiver who is really having a difficult time in coping with the diagnosis and also transitioning to that caregiver role. So we also have tools and information that, you know, they can definitely benefit from and hopefully improve their quality of life and then also improve the quality of life of their loved ones.
Well, I mean, and just for instance, I'm hearing as a middle-aged person, because I'm kind of middle-aged, I'm hearing that I will now probably in all likelihood have to basically work till I die. that the concept of retirement is basically in the rearview mirror because the generation in front of me thought that was really cool to kind of take it and then roll it away, which is fine, you know. I there's no guarantees, and
no remorse.
worry about that one, right? But with that in mind, what happens when my, you know, Timex watch still ticking mother may run into some of this stuff and needs caregiving, you know? Whoops.
No, and the good thing, though, is that our association is constantly searching for ways to continue providing or maintaining these types of programs. And one of the programs that we offer that has definitely helped so many families is our respite program for situations like these, where it's, you know, the middle-aged person who's still working but then has to take care of the mother or a parent in general and can't balance. And so our respite program, we provide a volunteer that provides companionship. So it may be, you know, some little amount of hours, you know, but it definitely goes a long way where the caregiver doesn't have to feel so stressed all the time. And so it's also available free of charge. All of our services, by the way, are free of charge to all families or anyone that is living with Alzheimer's disease here in the Valley.
How do you do that?
Well, actually, we have...
I'm sure it costs... You're getting paid, right?
Oh, yes.
Okay, cool.
No, but actually, we definitely are working hard all the time and finding ways to secure funding for our programs. But some of the events that we have, well, all events that we have here in the Valley that go towards supporting the Alzheimer's disease, Alzheimer's Association, stay in the Valley. So basically, you know, if we have a fundraising event, it's... All the funds will definitely stay here in the Valley to continue providing for families in the Imperial Valley. So.
All right, so we're here with Frank Espinoza. He is the regional manager of the... Yes, indeed. No, I got it, man. I got it. The regional manager of the San Diego Central Chapter of the Alzheimer's Association. You know, okay, so let's... And 337-8874 is the phone number in case you want to call and ask Frank questions because he knows everything about this. Let's start out with, I guess, maybe like warning signs. Let's really talk about what it is and what it might look like so that if anybody, you know, let's start there and then we'll end up going and touching what services are available.
Absolutely.
How's that sound?
Sounds great.
All right.
So basically, a lot of people ask if there's a difference between dementia and Alzheimer's.
Okay. Yeah.
And basically, dementia. Dementia is the general term. And it's a group of symptoms, you know, that's characterized by a loss of intellectual functioning that is severe enough to interfere with everyday life. So if a person is diagnosed with some type of dementia, it interferes with a daily life. You know,
they had it. They lost it. It's a problem.
Correct. And Alzheimer's is the most common type of dementia, and actually it represents 70% of all cases for dementia. So it's a large percentage right there. And basically people always differentiate or they don't understand that dementia is the general term and Alzheimer's is one type of dementia. And so we try to let them know that there are severe changes with people living with Alzheimer's as opposed to a normal person forgetting, you know, your keys and then 10 minutes later you remember that you left them in your room, things like that. So some of the warning signs that we definitely try to let families know is that for people with Alzheimer's disease, you know, memory changes do interrupt or disrupt daily life. I think that's the most important part, and we really emphasize or we really stress the difference. You know, it's the person who wakes up and is getting ready to leave but doesn't know where to go, doesn't have a destination.
That would be a big one.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. And then you know, putting personal belongings in places that really don't make sense, like, for example, storing your purse in the freezer, or, you know, saving, you know, storing your, putting your money away under the floor, things like that, and not knowing, you know, what's happening.
And not just kind of inadvertent things, like I had two things in my hand and one of them went in the refrigerator and somebody called my name and I wasn't really paying attention to which one.
Exactly. No, and
but actually putting it there with, like, I'm going to put my purse here because it's safe.
And, you know, and those types of changes do pose a huge threat, a safety issue in the home, especially if there's children living there, especially if the person's living alone. So, you know.
Sure. Access to fire, for one thing.
Yes.
Seems like that may be a concern.
Oh, absolutely. And then there's, you know, there's another example is a person trying to make a fresh pot of coffee by putting the coffee mug on the stove. And instead of using the kettle or whatever, you know, they use for to heat up the water. So definitely safety issues.
Would something like that come out of nowhere and be real predominant, or would it be creepy? Would it be slow?
Well, actually, you know, there are some reversible dementias. And what I mean by reversible is that once the problem gets identified, it could probably be corrected. And some of the changes in someone's diet or in their anatomy or things like that, I think it has to do with multiple medications, possible depression, poor nutrition. Brain tumors could also create symptoms of dementia. And once probably the tumors removed.
So if you see any of this stuff, it's really about first getting it checked out and seeing what the causality is.
Absolutely, and it's always very important to go to your primary doctor or go see the specialist, because they're the ones that definitely will diagnose
now,
the problem.
Would you coach somebody? I mean, you know, we talking about how awkward it is to bring up stuff to people. You know, hey, Mom, you just put your purse in the refrigerator. I need to take you to a neurologist for a checkup. That may be a hard conversation. Could you coach people through that if they call your place?
Absolutely, absolutely. We definitely have brochures and information where we touch on compassionate communication, on the transition of, you know, the early onset of Alzheimer's disease.
Well, yeah, because that person may already be defensive. They may be worried. They may be trying to hide it.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think that's the challenge that a lot of the families...
You think I'm going to let you guys know I'm slipping? You can stick me in an old folks home or something. Come on.
No, I definitely feel that it's very difficult for the family members to accept and to kind
and
of...
openly
yes,
talk about
yes,
it. Yeah.
Yes, and so I definitely commend families that, you know, go into our office, because it's I can only imagine, you know, it must have taken them a great deal of courage to go in and ask and be, you know, proactive about the, you know, the situation.
337-8874. We're here with Frank Espinoza, the regional manager of the San Diego Central Chapter of the Alzheimer's Association. Whew, I remember that was like one of the tests. Okay, I passed. So we've got the memory changes majorly disrupting lives, putting things in very odd places, just very odd places. What else? Are there other things that we want to be aware of?
Absolutely. I think challenges in planning or solving problems, and this is also a huge one, because, you know, for let's you know put a give an example of a family that they're so used to dad solving all the problems all the time, and then one day, or you know, slowly but surely, they begin to see changes where dad gets frustrated real easily with situations such as financial situations, or even, you know, the son or the daughter going up to dad and trying to talk about a specific problem, and dad can't really, you know, pinpoint how to solve it, and those signs of anxiousness or frustration can be a trigger and can be an indicator that something may be wrong.
So if I'm sitting there thinking, I don't know, gosh, mom's always been so good at this, why is she struggling and what's she mad about? Bam.
Yes, yes. And again, you know, we definitely do not want to always say, okay, that's Alzheimer's disease. That's why it's so important notice changes, exactly, to go see a doctor, and if you have problems reaching out to your loved one and trying to communicate that there needs to be some intervention, maybe they can stop by and pick up some information.
You know, rehearsing this in my head, I'm seeing this real balancing act. I'm thinking, you know, if I see it once, I'm going to, like, try and minimize it. I'm going to say, ooh, yeah, just kind of twist of fate or some random occurrence or something. If I see it again, I'm going to be, it's normal, isn't it? And you know, I just imagine there's this real struggle.
Absolutely.
To say, when do I have to jump in and say, as a caregiver, and say, yo, time to get this checked.
And you know what? For a lot of families, it's like I said, it's still taboo, and especially in large families where there's, you know, siblings, and it's only one sibling taking care of a loved one, it can be tough. It can be tough to kind of get that support from the whole family.
Oh, that's true, because then it's like, oh, you're the one who's trying to do this to me, and none of the other people have said anything to me.
Exactly.
Not me, it's exactly. You.
So, I mean,
ouch.
Yeah. and that's another challenge right there, family dynamics. And so,
sure.
So it's also our job.
I think in a family role is like the bearer of bad news.
I know.
that you?
Yeah, been there, done that. No.
So what else do we got to watch out for?
Also, you know, completing familiar tasks. You know, now dad is having problems, you know, mowing the lawn, washing the car, fixing, you know, working on the car. So these familiar tasks that we're probably used to seeing on a weekly basis, they're having some type of challenge in doing these types of tasks. And so that can be also a strong indicator that something may be wrong.
Okay.
Confusion with time or place. Like I said, you know, sometimes a person may wake up and they think that it's January when it's August, and maybe putting on a sweater when it's summer. They really don't have a destination. If they rely on public transportation, they're just kind of cruising around. And for a lot of the chauffeurs on buses, it's difficult because they think that, you know, oh, they're just going around, or, you know, and
they're bored, nothing better to do. I'll
exactly.
Ride the bus all day.
You know, they also could probably help us identify if someone may be going through some problems with memory loss. So another example is trouble understanding visual images and spatial relationships.
So, I'll explain that one, okay?
Okay, well, basically, you know, you have a person who is diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and then they see different objects, they perceive objects to be different things. So, for example, if a caregiver is struggling with a person with Alzheimer's, and they're trying to, you know, divert them towards the bathroom, to, you know, to shower them or whatever it is that they need to do.
Time to brush your teeth, sweetheart.
And they come across the bath rug. The person with Alzheimer's disease could probably perceive that as a hole on the floor, or they perceive objects differently. So if they react aggressively, or if they react scared,
they get startled and run away.
Exactly.
Because they saw a hole in the floor,
exactly.
And you saw carpet.
Yes.
And it's gonna be hard for you to relate to that.
So you know, there you go. And so basically, you know, if we have information where we kind of guide the caregiver to modify the home, the bathroom, for example, and trying to remove objects that, you know, may be a safety hazard. Also, objects that may
constantly
confuse,
disrupt
yes,
the flow.
Exactly. There you go.
Sort of like baby-proofing the house.
Yes. Yes. There you go. It's actually very, very good to do that because, you know, the person with Alzheimer's disease may not understand that they're going through memory loss, but because of that, they still want to do, you know, some of the same things that they're used to doing, because it's the short-term memory that is affected first in most cases.
Mm-hmm.
And so the long-term memory is still fresh and stored. And so they probably, if let's say a person with Alzheimer's was a housewife, you know, for the longest time and was so used to, you know, feeding their kids at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and needs to prepare lunch or dinner, and she's wheelchair bound, she won't know or understand that she's wheelchair bound now. She'll still think that, oh, I need to get, you know, things ready for dinner.
Why can't I get up? And
yes, yes. And
I've got to get lunch ready.
And they'll be stubborn.
Making the tortillas.
Exactly. Or trying to, you know, use the stove. And things like these can definitely be a safety issue, as we mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. So it's best, I think, in all reality to safe-proof the home, to have someone who specializes in that area to check the home first and see how they need to modify the home to make it safe. So,
wow. Any other warning signs?
Oh,
let's kill them before the top of the hour.
Okay, good.
That's enough. What a choice of words.
Let's get rid of the list. Let's cover the list.
All right. New problems with words in speaking or writing. So,
like calling the list killing it?
Yes.
For example,
no. I think it's here. It refers to new terminology. You know, we're in the 21st century. You know, a person if a person is
because
trying
to, because it's a short term.
Yes. So they can't store or register new words. They can't write those new words as well. So the new information is lost because they're incapable of storing and registering that information. The new information. So you can't talk to your grandmother if she has Alzheimer's. You can't talk about her Twitter or
Skyping.
Yes, there you go. They will probably be confused all the time.
Or every time you talk about it, it's like the first time or whatever?
Probably, yes.
Okay.
So another example is misplacing things and losing the ability to retrace the steps. So that was the key word, ability to retrace steps. We all lose things at one point. But this, you know.
Misplace. That's a polite word.
But, you know, a person with Alzheimer's or severe memory loss is unable to retrace the steps.
To backtrack. Back.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And so, you know, like I said before, you know, the keys probably putting in a very, very hidden place.
I see you're practicing good
yes,
placement habits.
Yeah. I have my keys, everything right here, so I won't forget. Also, decreased and or poor judgment. That's another very common sign that I see here in Imperial Valley, and that leads to, you know, financial abuse. That leads to, you know.
Could it be poor judgment of use of words? You know,
yes.
They become very vocal and might use, you know, profane.
No.
Poor choice of words.
Yes,
you know?
Probably pretty good example.
Yes,
huh?
But I think it's very important to understand that. I think it's on a severe level. You know, if grandpa or grandma says, you know, something funny, that may be, in a sense, inappropriate, I don't think that's a red flag.
But what if they weren't like that before? They were just a very, you know, calm. And
they wouldn't dare say that.
They wouldn't
all
say
of a
those.
Bam,
very
there it is.
They wouldn't say, yeah, exactly. They wouldn't say those.
Well, I think, and that's another thing also, I think it's very important, it's the responsibility of the family to really be realistic and to kind of have that proactive approach and say, okay, something is wrong, because mm-hmm. mom used to never was this way.
That word was never said at the house.
Yes.
Those words were never said.
Because I think also, you know, when family members or even the actual patient goes to see the doctor, it's always, you know, the doctor, how are you feeling? Oh, I'm good. I'm good. There's nothing wrong. And I think it's important that the family member advocates for their loved one and really kind of use tactics or techniques, you know, whether it's keeping a journal mm-hmm. or whether it's being very vocal and say, you know what, this is what's going on and it's been happening for the last 2 weeks. I'm concerned. You know, what's the next step?
All right. The next step is to take a break.
Okay.
This is Let's Talk About It, Your Voice for Radio Wellness in Imperial Valley, sponsored by Imperial County Behavioral Health. It's top of the hour. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Let's Talk About It, presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services. A 5 to 6 minute highlight podcast of the same show is available on KXORadio.com.
And welcome back. You're still listening to Let's Talk About It. We're still here. We are brought to you by Imperial County Behavioral Health and KUBO 88.7 Radio Bilingüe. Our phone number here at the station is 337-8874. Call us if you have any questions regarding Alzheimer's Association of San Diego and Imperial County.
Because we're here with Frank Espinoza, and he's the regional manager, and he knows everything. The other thing is that, remember, this is a podcast on KXLradio.com in the near future, and it remains there as like an informational source for as long as there's electricity.
Wow. That's great.
No.
So I'm going to go back, and then I'm going to check myself, and then, ugh, I shouldn't have said this. So
it'll be all Mario, the engineer.
Yes, there you go. You can edit it. So.
Yes.
Yeah. Take out all the totallys and the uhs.
And the
Yes, indeed.
Okay.
Welcome back. We're here with Frank.
All right. So we left off on the decreased or poor judgment. We talked about that. But the next warning sign is withdrawal from work or social activities. And here I think we definitely need to keep an eye on people, because we all, especially I guess here in the summer, everyone mm-hmm. is kind of like socially withdrawn.
Yes.
Because of the extreme heat.
Inside their homes.
It's like wintertime in the north.
Yes. And so I think there is a huge difference. And here, you know, a person doesn't want to interact with the family anymore, wants to stay, you know, in their room, doesn't even want to watch TV or probably play cards. And then with work, maybe they're having issues also of being socially withdrawn at work. You know, before.
So if somebody was very, like, even if they didn't work, but they always fix themselves up, you know, their dress up, their hair, you know.
But then again, you need to, you know, we need to go back to those reversible dementias, as I mentioned earlier, that some of the conditions, or if let's say if the person may be suffering from depression, that can also be, you know.
Well, social withdrawal. Depression
yes.
knows that song.
Yes.
Yes.
Depression will sing that one too.
Exactly. So we need to definitely always keep an eye mm-hmm. on these changes, and it may be depression, it may be memory loss. But if once, you know, medical intervention is applied, there could be a drastic mm-hmm. change in behavior. Mm-hmm. So so just, you know, to keep an eye on that one. Also, I think this is the last one is changes in mood and personality.
That's where I was saying about when it was decreased or poor judgment. So if you know your loved one, your family member, and they used to be very proper, very, and then all of a sudden they're very loud and outspoken and
it's a tough one, because, you know, sometimes
change of personality.
Yes. And I think when we're talking about changes in personality, we're not talking about, you know, just your typical temper tantrum, and then, you know, this is something where
it spikes and it stays there.
Yes. Yes. And it's
welcome
severe.
To the new grouchy mean Scott.
Yes. And I
actually, I've always been that. Shouldn't be a problem.
I think that, you know, we need to to pay attention to these signs, because, you know, a lot of people think, oh, it's because they're older, or it's because that's how they were, or it's because they're stressed, or yes, but once again, you know, we stress that it's important to understand that there's a difference. There's severe and there's normal. Mm-hmm. When these actions or these warning signs are triggered, it's on a severe level, and again, it impacts daily life.
And we're family, so we're going to notice this stuff first in all likelihood.
There you go. Yes.
Ouch.
It's scary. It's scary, and it's important to understand that by not saying anything or by not doing anything, it's not going to go away. And it's important for families to understand that there is help. There is, you know, the information available to everyone who wants to learn more about Alzheimer's disease.
But there's no cure.
Unfortunately not. There's no cure. But, you know, Alzheimer's Association is constantly, you know, doing research and trying to promote brain health. So I invite everyone to stop by and you know, and pick up some information and pick up resources that we have available to everyone in the valley.
Okay, so step one, if you're seeing these warning signs in anybody that you are able to kind of know well enough to tell this stuff apart from anybody else, then step one is getting this person to be assessed by a doctor.
Correct.
Yes, no, maybe so?
No, correct. The doctor is, I think, the first step and the most important step, because, like, once again, you know, there could be other...
And you mentioned that if that person walks into the doctor by themselves, they're going to say, eh, fine.
Yes.
Everything's wonderful.
No problem at all.
Well, either because they're not really aware of it, or because they're motivated by fear. They're scared. They don't, you know, nobody wants this, I don't think.
Exactly. And it's important for families to take that proactive approach and to be representatives of their loved ones, because in time, that, unfortunately for some, it's going to be their role whether they like it or not. And it's tough to hear that, but it's important to understand that no one will advocate more than a loved one. Not, you know, a person who doesn't know this, a person with Alzheimer's. Not the doctor, because the doctor isn't there 24/7. The doctor only sees the patient.
Unless, you know, I can figure out their address, mm-hmm. perhaps.
Perhaps. Hey,
go stay in his house.
And
but 2,500 people, 2,500 people in this
valley.
Community.
That have been identified, or that?
Yes.
That have been, and I'm sure there's a few
yes.
walking around.
Exactly.
That, under the radar. So step two, once this has been somehow confirmed, is I'm sure the doctor's going to have something to do. But more importantly, we need to probably march them in to your place and start talking.
Find
yes.
support.
Yes.
Find resources.
Yes. And I think, you know, that once they come to our office, we will definitely sit down with them and try to...
And me, or us, or you, or, you know, the whole team, right? I mean, it's going to be a family project in
yes.
all likelihood.
Yes, because we definitely work with other agencies here in the valley, and there's, you know, obviously not just one need.
Mm-hmm.
So what we do, if a person walks in, you know, and they have different needs, we identify those needs and we link them to the appropriate, mm-hmm. you know, agency or appropriate doctor or whatever it may be. But we definitely do sit down with them and talk about their situation, and then we provide them with the tools so they transition easier than if they didn't, you know, reach out to
mm-hmm.
us and face.
So you've got some sort of needs assessment then that you run through?
Yes, we have a needs assessment. We also offer care consultations. The care consultations are those personalized visits and action plans that we try to create so we can help them find what they need and bridge them with those gaps that they may be facing along the way.
So it's kind of like a brokerage. In other words, they come and then you find out what the family needs and or what the person with Alzheimer's needs, and you just link them.
Yes, yes, we do that. Well, we offer different types of services, but I think the most important service, you know, once they probably go to the doctor or even before going to the doctor and they have questions, we have a helpline available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you know, throughout the whole year, and it's 1-800-272-3900, and it's 24-hour helpline. So they have any questions or any
situations. In the middle of the night, if something happens.
In the middle of the night, yes.
Frank, you caught me totally by surprise. I didn't have my pencil in my hand. Okay, can you give me that again?
It's 1-800-272-3900.
And it'll be in the podcast.
There you go. And that's available anytime.
Anytime. And this is a call center, you know.
National.
Yes, nationwide. And so if...
Hablan español.
Hablan español.
Muy bien.
Yes. And so basically if someone calls in the middle of the night and they're from Imperial Valley and they are trying to get a hold of someone in the valley, that call will come to us, okay. You know, probably the next day, and then we'll go from there. The care consultation, as I said, you know, it's a personalized service. We meet with the family addressing those needs, and we try to help them as much as we can, and we will link them to other agencies here in the community, or if it's even, if they're transitioning, that they're leaving, you know, the county and they're going to San Diego or they're going to Riverside County, we also have, you know, contacts with other agencies in different areas. So it's very important to reach out to us.
What is, you know, when we walk into a situation like that and you guys have your resources and your needs assessment, what are we looking at here? Is it really about maintaining the absolute quality of life that we can? Is it safety? Is it a variety of things?
It's a variety of things. Like I said, you know, each situation, each family is unique.
The disorder has a lot of different ways of expressing itself,
yes.
Too.
Yes.
No?
Yes, and then also you have to take into account that every person has their own lifestyle. So if there are other challenges, whether it could be financial situations, safety issues, you know, that's the whole focus of having that personalized meet and greet with the family to identify.
Yeah, because one person may, you know, be relatively high functioning. One person may be really fixated on driving, so you have to, like, do the whole security thing with the car keys. The other person may be really fixated on cooking. Another person may wander off, and each of those people is going to require a different care plan.
Yeah. It's funny how you say that might be driving and, you know, my the towing business, my husband, and he gets a lot of people that they're from out of this county and sometimes out of the state, and they end up here. They get stopped.
Random driving.
And they don't know where they're from. They don't know who they are. They're sometimes without, you know, maybe just underwear on.
Well, it is hot. It is warm here.
And, no, it just didn't, just, they didn't, and then they're elderly people, older, and luckily they're able to contact family, and then they come, and they pick up the car and, you know, get their family, you know, the family member is at the hospital. But there's so many times it happens. You know, you just...
So that's not uncommon?
It's not uncommon. Well, it's not uncommon. You know, and they end up at the tow yard because they're, of course, they can't get them. Okay, here's the car back. No.
And
family members come from sometimes, like I said, up north of San Diego and then out of state. And they drove all that time. They drove all that time.
Wow.
Not knowing where they were at.
Well, see, usually what happens there is that, you know, again, going back to the whole short-term memory and long-term memory, the short-term memory, which probably is responsible for...
Destination.
Yes, it has been impaired. So the long-term memory is kicking in by saying, okay, well, I'm living here. I don't know where I'm at. My home is that home that they probably lived in when it was 1940, and they know the city is, you know, Yuma, per se.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll get in the car. They have a destination, but their destination is when it was 30, 40 years back.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important to also let families know.
You can't travel through time in a car?
Well,
no,
not yet.
Not yet.
Not yet. That it's important to also let them know that we also offer the Medic Alert plus Safe Return bracelet. And because, you know, people with Alzheimer's disease will wander at some point. So it's very important to have that tool, which is a national registry that assists families and emergency responders when an individual with Alzheimer's
is... It's going to be nice when we finally get to the youth generation, and we'll just be able to, like, tattoo UPC codes on people, right? Because they're tattooed.
Aren't they going to do, like, a movie on that?
Well, you know, it would make sense. It would make sense. You know, Maria's wandering drivers. You could just scan them and figure out what was going on.
Or, like you said, take safety precautions, you know, just... take the keys away or put them, you know, just sell the car or...
No, and like, again, you know, make those modifications. And the funny thing is that, well, it's not funny, but the people's idea of a person wandering is that they're able to walk. But a person, even with a wheelchair, may wander off. So just because...
Oh, we're determined people.
Yes.
Yes. No.
Yeah, that doesn't go away. Yeah. That may even get worse, stronger.
So it's good to know that they can go in our office or, you know, they can contact us, and we'll enroll their loved one with onto the Safe Return program.
So you know, it's interesting because if you have Alzheimer's, you've got this short-term memory disruption, which makes it really hard to learn how to live with a short-term memory disruption. So you really can't write like a guide to a person's guide to living without a really good short-term memory, which would be very useful, you know, in theory, right? Because then you could just look at the guide and say, oh, yeah, that's right, I'm not supposed to travel because I may forget where I'm going. And because they won't be able to process it short-term anyway.
Correct. And I think that's where...
Could I learn right now in my long-term memory how to live without a short-term memory so that if it ever happened to me then, I could, like, it's like Inception.
But you
I
know,
go back
no. But you're, what you're talking about, it's just, I just can't imagine. You know, for me, the fear of me knowing if the doctor would tell me, you know what, you have early signs of Alzheimer's. You're still right now able to comprehend and understand that, but you know how it's gonna end. It's just, you know, just that fear. Oh my gosh! And it just if somebody would tell me that.
So that's
me,
not one of your preferred ways to go.
No. But, you know, just if they were to tell me, I just, oh, my God, it's imminent. It's going to happen. There's no cure.
Do people catastrophize when they first get this?
I mean, just my loved ones, too, my family, you know, they're going to be the ones that are going to have to take care of me. I'm not going to even know them.
Yeah.
I'm not going to even know how to, you know, take care of myself.
People react differently to, you know, the news, but I think it's the family that can definitely make a huge impact on how a person with Alzheimer's reacts and how they live. And so the more that they know and the more that the family is involved, the better the person with dementia will be. I think it's important to not see it as a death sentence, but really kind of an opportunity to just provide as much love, as much care as possible, and really make a positive experience out of something negative.
It's possible to have quality of life, even though it's more difficult to operate.
Yes. Yes.
That's what you're saying.
Yes.
Okay.
That's the part that needs to be educated, you know, just...
And basically...
That there's an alternative. That there is...
There is an alternative, that there's also tips on how to, you know, make changes in the home, communicate, introduce activities... that the person may still feel useful and have a sense of purpose.
Figure out what you can do, and then let's do those things.
Exactly, exactly. And then also understand how the person was in the past. Mm-hmm. So, for example, let's say a person with dementia is not really engaging in many activities as they used to, but let's say it's mom or dad that used to work at the office, and you're trying to engage them as a caregiver, engage them in something meaningful. So maybe cutting coupons is one activity. You know, that's an example to keep them busy. Or if the person maybe used to work in the hospitality industry, maybe, you know, folding clothes. You know, they don't have to make things perfect, but at least they're doing something.
Make sure you use the scissors, the kitty scissors.
Yes, the kitty scissors.
They already got me on those.
Also, you know, with the whole even cooking, the cooking issue, maybe the daughter...
Group cooking.
Or group cooking.
Team cooking.
Or mixing stuff. Mixing stuff. Something that doesn't have to do with...
Setting the table, things like that. You know, something simpler, but they're still part of that task of, you know,
cooking. Well, yeah, you can cook and I'll be your short-term memory. No big deal. No, seriously, I'll hang around, and if you walk away from the stove, I'll be like, oh, okay, stove off.
Well, I mean, but unfortunately, with time, you know, these tasks make...
More and more difficult.
Yes, yes, to process. And then also, it's very important to understand that the changes in behavior may be a result of the...
Progression.
The progression, and so a lot of the people with Alzheimer's disease do become sensitive to noise, to light, to people, and they become just very comfortable in their known environment. So I've gotten people where they have challenges in traveling out, and let's say visiting a brother or a sister in San Diego. Mom can't.
Too much stimulation.
Yeah, too much stimulation. Mom can't
change your routine.
The car. Take me home. Mm-hmm. I want to go home. You're trying to, you know, you're trying to kidnap me. Things like that. So it's very tough. It's very tough, and that's why also we offer support groups.
Well, yeah, because there's grieving all over this thing, isn't there? I mean, the people who are experiencing it, you know, on a daily basis, may be grieving the loss of some other level of function that they had yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then the people who are watching their family members diminish,
yes,
if you will.
So, you know, I invite also people who are...
When do the support groups meet?
The support groups meet once a month. We have 4 locations in the Valley. They can stop by our office to pick up the schedule, but they are in Calexico, 3 in Calexico, as a matter of fact, and 1 in Brawley. And
men here in El Centro?
We had some, but, you know, a lot of people, yes.
El Centro residents?
I think, you know, we're trying to find a good location where we can definitely maximize the opportunity for people to stop by and really take advantage of the support groups.
Are those for caregivers or for the people themselves who are experiencing?
Anyone.
Any and all?
Anyone, yes. And for the most part, it's caregivers that go and really take advantage of that space to, you know, just to let it go, to share ideas, to share experiences. And it's a very... very positive experience for these caregivers, because it's I've gotten feedback from most of them saying that it's my time to recharge. You know, I let it out. I don't feel as stressed for that, you know, 1 hour, an hour and a half, and then it just gives me the strength to continue providing care for my loved one, and it's meaningful for them.
Yeah.
So
they need it.
Absolutely.
Great. Okay, so let's throw out the contact information again.
Okay.
The whole thing.
Location.
The whole thing. All right. Well, again, you know, for those who are just tuning in, we're the Alzheimer's Association San Diego Imperial Chapter.
Ooh.
And
yeah. Central's off the map.
No.
And we're located on 584 West Main Street, Suite B as in boy, in El Centro. And our phone number is 760-335-3725. We're open from Monday through Thursday from 8:30 to 5 p.m. And once again, you know, the helpline phone number is 1-800-272-3900, and it's a 24-hour service.
7 days a week.
7 days.
24/7.
24/7, 365 days out of the year.
And do you guys do events throughout the year? And I'm sure volunteers are welcome, or?
Absolutely. We always are welcoming volunteers, students, seniors, anyone who is interested in
community service.
In community service and working with people with Alzheimer's. We offer volunteer opportunities. We are involved in many different aspects in the community.
And you know what? I think this is very important because of the budget cuts that the state is coming in because of the adult daycares of the adults.
Yes. Unfortunately, it's something that will impact our community, and we will definitely see an increase or a high influx of calls, I'm pretty mm-hmm. sure. So if people are interested in helping out, you know, here's the opportunity to stop by our office and definitely make a difference in people's lives, especially people with Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm.
If I can, I would like to...
No.
No?
No,
yes,
don't even ask.
Yes, you can.
I'd like to invite... people to stop by our office or give us a call in October, on October 15th, the Sunny's 5K run will be held in Imperial, and we can give you more information if you're interested in signing up. All funds raised in that event will go towards the Imperial chapter of the Alzheimer's Association. And again, all funds mm-hmm. go towards, you know, providing free services, maintaining our free programs. And so, so yes, give us a call, 760-335-3725.
You still running? Are you still running?
Yes, I am.
Do you want to do this? You and me? I'll race you.
No, I
I'm,
no,
not I'm not running, so you're
I'm
like
running,
way ahead
I'm,
of me.
I'm running on the treadmill, but not... I've never run.
You never ran outside? Oh, no. Running outside is fun.
When you're with my horse.
I'm going to talk her into this because it sounds like a good cause. We'll be there. We'll make it.
And it's fun.
Let's talk about a promotional event.
Yes.
Whatever.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Yeah. And like that carries a lot of weight.
No. And I'll bring the bring me the flyers, and I'll remind them.
Well, thank
our
you.
Listeners.
You know, we could have a lot of people work to it because, you know, running's cool, and it's a good cause.
It's a win-win. That's how I
there
see it.
There you go.
You get, you know, you burn your calories in the morning, and you're also helping out, you know, you're helping towards a great cause. So yes, once again, you know, I'd like to take this opportunity and thank Let's Talk About Show for allowing me to kind of speak on behalf mm-hmm. of the association. I encourage everyone to pay us a visit, to go online. Also, our website is www.sanals.org, and we can, you know, we have tons of information also available online. And if you're just walking around on Main Street, you know, pay us a visit. You know, we'll make a fresh pot of coffee and talk for a little bit. But we're right there to help out as much as we can. And thank you. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thanks for coming aboard, Frank.
All right.
Thank you so much, Frank.
You've been listening to Let's Talk About It. We're sponsored by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services. I'm Scott. She's Maria. Mario Espinoza is the executive producer, who's going to make a sweet podcast out of this whole show. Join us again next week. We'll be back with more.
Yes. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Let's Talk About It, heard each Thursday morning at 7:30 a.m. on KUBO 88.7 FM, Radio Bilingue. Presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXORadio.com.